think that as kids, we emphasize probably obedience quite a bit, don't you think? Our parents may definitely emphasize obedience, right? And teachers emphasize obedience to their students, which we may be one of their students, if you remember back that far. But somewhere along the line, we might forget who we still need to be obedient to. You know, we as adults, we never outgrow the obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We never outgrow the obedience to our Heavenly Father. And we've been doing the worship, you know, wow, what a God, woe is me, and when the two meet. But I have something, hopefully, to help you keep it in your mind today. On the count of three, I want you to say, yes, sir, and do this, okay? Now, you that were in the military, you know a little bit about obedience, right? I mean, you didn't have the opportunity to say, no, drill sergeant, I'm not going to do that, did you? It was like, yes, sir, okay? So on the count of three, yes, sir. All right, one, two, three. Yes, sir. All right, that's pretty good. I know mine was not a proper salute. I was not in the military. My dad was a Marine. Two brothers were Marines. But the last response, if you haven't figured it out yet, the last response that we should have to the Heavenly Father that we have, they're going to look at tonight, is simply to obey Him. Simply to obey Him. This is part nine of our Heavenly Father. And we've been looking at our response to our Heavenly Father should be to, and then we filled in several things tonight, should be to obey Him. And we're going to go back to Psalm 99. Now, we took a little bit of a tangent the last two messages, talking a little bit more fully about worship, what Jesus had to say about worship. But I'm going to read Psalm 99, review a little bit from this series. This is the last message, I believe, on this series. And it says, Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible or awesome name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity, Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. We started looking at point number one under this, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is. And then we described Him from this chapter. There's 10 different ways that He is described, and I'll review those very quickly. The first thing or way that He is described, our Heavenly Father is in control. In control. In verse 1 there, it says, the Lord reigneth. If you drop down to verse 4, it says, the king's strength. I am thankful in this old world when things happen that I don't understand, I can sit in my recliner, take a great big breath, and say, it's all right. God's in control. The second quality that we looked at from Psalm 99, our Heavenly Father is present, is present. In verse 1, it says, He sitteth between the cherubims. That speaks of the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubims on each end of the top of the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat in between. It represented the presence of God. And then verse 7, it talks about the cloudy pillar. Remember the cloudy pillar of fire by day and fire by night that led the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm thankful that our God just didn't kind of get the world going, wind it up, if you will, and say, okay, you're on your own. The God of the Bible, the holy God that we have, the Heavenly Father that we serve, He is a present Heavenly Father. He's always there. There's never a time that He's not with us. Aren't you thankful for that? Third quality that we looked at in this chapter, our Heavenly Father is great. It says that in verse 2, the Lord is great in Zion. It says in verse 3, let them praise Thy great and terrible or awesome name. There's nobody or nothing that's going to outdo our Heavenly Father. Fourthly, we looked at He is high above man. And it says that in verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion and He is high above all the people. I'm telling you, if man had their hands in the things of God, it would be messed up. But I'm thankful that our God is high above man. It says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm thankful that they are. Fifthly, He is just. It says in verse 4, the king's strength loveth judgment. It says in verse 4 also, thou executest judgment. And it says in verse 8, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. You see, our God is just. He never does anything that is unjust. A lot of people watch the judge shows. I don't, for one. I don't need to look at everybody. I have enough problems of my own, a little less trying to watch everybody else's problems being judged by somebody. But a lot of people, and you got this judge so-and-so and judge so-and-so. No offense, Lori, but I'm sure it's a real part of life that has to happen, but I don't necessarily want to watch it on television. They say, well, that was a good judgment or a bad judgment. I'm thankful that every judgment of our Heavenly Father is perfect. And when we stand, we've been looking in Sunday school at the judgments that the great white throne judgment for the lost and the judgment seat of Christ for the saved based upon our service. And there'll be no argument. There'll be no argument at the judgment seat of Christ for us that know the Lord. We're like, well, but you know, what about this? What about? Because He is perfectly just. The sixth quality, our God is equitable, fair, or even, or right. It says in verse 4 that thou dost establish equity. Where did fairness come from? It come from God, our Heavenly Father. Seventh quality is He is righteous. Righteous in verse 4, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. You see, everything about our God, now I know some of these kind of overlap a little bit, but He is right and He is good. And as I've said several times in this series, if you're arguing with God, trying to convince Him you're right, you might as well give up the argument right now, because you cannot argue with God, because He is always right. The eighth quality of God from this chapter, He's a prayer answerer. In verse 6, speaking of Moses and Aaron and Samuel, says they called upon the Lord and He answered them. And verse 8, thou answerest them, speaking of the children of Israel, O Lord our God. So God always answers prayers. It's really a wrong statement to say God did not answer my prayer. Really, God answers every prayer. He answers it yes, no, and wait. Of course, we, praying the prayer, we want it to be a yes. We want it to be quick, yes. But He answers every prayer. The ninth quality, He's a forgiver. He's a forgiver. Notice in verse 8, thou wast a God that forgavest them. That's speaking to the children of Israel. But He's a forgiver for us as well, right? Remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that when I let sin perhaps accumulate in my life, or any day that I sin against God, and it hurts that fellowship. It doesn't break the relationship, but it hurts that fellowship, that I can go before God and He forgives me. And ultimately, He forgave me at 11 years of age when I trusted Jesus as my Savior and became a child of God. Last quality we looked at is holy. Our God is holy. And that seems to be the one that's really emphasized in this chapter. It's mentioned three times. Verse 4, it says, for it, speaking of thy great and terrible or awesome name, is holy. That's speaking of the quality of our Heavenly Father. It says in verse 5, for He, the Lord our God, is holy. Verse 9 says, for the Lord our God is holy. Guess what? The Lord our God is holy, right? That means He is like no other God. He is above all God. There's nobody like Him. We ought to recognize that there's no other God. Actually, I'll say it this way. There is no other God, true God, big G God in this world. It's just our big G God. We put some little G God sometimes in the place of big G God, but there's only one big G God. There's only one real God, and He is holy. And we need to recognize Him as holy. Then we started looking at Roman numeral number 2. Not only our Heavenly Father is all these qualities, but Roman numeral number 2 in this sermon series, our response to our Heavenly Father should be to, and then we filled in the blank looking at various passages. The first response we looked at was we should fear Him. We should fear Him. Remember I said every Christian ought to have a whole lot of lot of God, and a little bit of uh-oh. I think we may do a better job of the awe than we do the uh-oh. But we need to fear Him. It says in verse 1, let the people tremble. It says, let the earth be moved. The second response we should have to this Heavenly Father that is so awesome and amazing, we should praise Him. This, I think, primarily speaks of the words of our mouth and the words we sing in song. And we can do that all day long. It says in verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible or awesome name. Praise should be a response from someone who knows this Heavenly Father. Not only to fear Him, but to praise Him. The third response, we ought to exalt Him. That means just lift Him up. Everything we do in life, our priorities, our decisions, our words, and all of our actions should lift Him up. It's all about Him. Not lift ourselves up, but lift up our Heavenly Father. And then, as you know, we've just covered the part talking about worship Him. Our fourth response, all found in this, they exalt Him in verses 5 and 9. Says, exalt ye the Lord our God. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship Him, it says also in those verses, and worship at His footstool. I believe kind of implying personal worship, and worship at His holy hill. Speaking of the temple there in Jerusalem on the holy hill. Speaking of corporate worship. So we should worship Him, bowing ourselves down to His greatness and His holiness. And do you remember? Now, you may have switched sides. Keep this in mind. Do you remember how we defined, and hopefully it sticks with you a little bit, if fearing Him involves a whole lot of awe, what a God, and a little bit of uh-oh, what is worship? It is, wow, what a God. You was close, Larry, old, but, oh, if you remember that, you still get a B+, all right? And this side was, so wow, what a God, woe is me, and what happens to the two of them? They meet on the inside, and that's what worship is. Tonight, we're going to talk about last response, last message, as far as I know, in this series of messages on Psalm 99. We need to obey Him. We need to obey Him. Notice what it says. Under the idea of obey Him. It says in verse 7, it says, He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Who's that speaking about? The children of Israel, right? They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. The idea of kept there in the Greek is to hedge about, that is to guard and generally to protect or attend to. You know, we as children of our Heavenly Father are expected to keep the commands of God. You know, I know it's a big book called the Bible, but everything in this book is very clear. Really, it is. Normally, we as pastors, when we talk to people about things in their life and things that ought not be there, it's not a matter of what is right and wrong. It's a matter of us deciding to do that which is right and forsaking that which is wrong. You know, it's a problem with us. It's a problem with our response. It seems to never be, what does the Bible say? And even if they're not familiar with the Bible, they also have, if they were talking about a child of God, they have the Holy Spirit inside of them, which also gives them wisdom and guidance and direction. And believe me, the Holy Spirit will not guide you contrary to the Word of God. The two are in total agreement and total meshing together, if you will. So it's up to us to keep the Word of God. It's up to us to obey the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and to do whatever it tells us to do. I've heard it said many, 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 many times. We are educated well above our obedience. We are educated well above our obedience. You might say that, you know how sometimes they measure people in school according to the grade level that they're on? As far as knowledge, we'd probably all be seniors and graduate, right? Graduating. But as far as obedience, we might still be first graders. We might be, you know, well, they're actually performing on a third grade level. But where does that responsibility lies? Well, you can't look around. You actually can't look around and say, well, it's their fault. You know, I understand. I really do, I believe. I understand people that come from very difficult backgrounds. We were talking about this on the way to church even tonight. You know, we have some beautiful little kids that come to our church. And, if God just wants to use them, and they're open, and they have good personalities, and they seem to be very smart and on top of things, if we could just get the parents, you know, just to step in there and to help them out. You know, they're willing to do that. But what about you and I? What about you and I? Are we willing to be all that God wants us to be? You know, we are the children of the Heavenly Father, right? Now, we need to step it up. We need to step it up. We need to do what God wants us to do. And if the parents would get, now some of these profess Jesus as their Savior, even the parents. What if they would step it up and say, we're going to obey God and we're going to raise our kids up on God in God's ways. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you see, it's up to us. You can't blame other people. Where I was going with that a moment ago, you know, I realized that some people come from very difficult backgrounds and abuse and a lot of things like that. But there comes a point, that you can no longer keep pointing back to your past and say, it's all because of my past. It's all because of my past that I'm the way I am. We can't keep using that excuse. Now, for a child of God who knows Jesus, that past has been erased. Everything. Now, I realize I'm not saying it would be easy, and I'm not belittling what they went through, but there comes a point that we need to stop blaming our past and the things that we went through and start relying not upon the past, but on the power of Jesus to change us, right? And live a life of obedience. That's important. You know, there's several Old Testament verses that talk about keeping the word or keeping the commandments of God. And in Psalm 119, which is really not surprising, it's the longest psalm. Get this. 21 times it talks about keeping the word of God. 21 times. Now, the word of God is called several different things. I don't have that list before me right now, but it's sometimes called the ordinance of God and the commandments of God. And there's different words used to describe the word of God, but all of it is speaking about the word of God. Of course, that's the main theme of Psalm 119, but 21 times in that psalm, it reminds us we have to keep the word of God. In other words, we have to be obedient. I want to share with you just a couple of those. Psalm 119, verse 101. Psalm 119, verse 101. Notice what it says. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. So what is that saying? I'm obeying God and not walking the path of evil. For what reason? That, or you might say, so that I might keep thy word, or I might obey thy word. What about Psalm 119, verse 168? Notice what it says. Again, this mentions this 21 times in this long chapter, but notice what it says in verse 168. It says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. In other words, two different words used to describe the word of God. For all my ways are before thee. You know, a wonderful reason to obey our Heavenly Father is because He sees every time we obey Him. And He sees every time we disobey Him. It's kind of really funny to me that we try to hide our sin. You can't hide it. I mean, you can try to do it in the darkest of night and try to have the most elaborate cover-up that ever was. I know Jason likes watching Perry Mason, don't you? With Pawpaw. Pawpaw likes Perry Mason, so he watches Perry Mason with Pawpaw. And, you know, those people, sometimes elaborate schemes, right? Yeah. And I know Larry and Connie, they told me they really like Columbo. You know, these people go to elaborate schemes to try to cover up their sin. But guess what? Columbo's going to figure it out. And Perry Mason is going to figure it out. But can I tell you, someone who's a whole lot better at figuring out That's our Heavenly Father. He knows it. He knows exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, so we can't get away with it. We need to keep or obey the commands of God. The commands of God. And again, let me say, if you have a question about whether something is right or wrong, and you say, preacher, I'll do my best to answer it from the concepts of the Word of God, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. But for the most part, it's pretty clear. But it comes down to a choice. And the only proper response to the commands of God and to the wonderful, amazing, awesome, beyond words to describe Heavenly Father that we have is simply to obey Him. To obey Him. Psalm 116 in verse 9. Now, I'm not sure if I gave that to Angela or not, but Psalm 116, verse 9. 116, verse 9. Let me read that to you as soon as I put my finger on it. Is another verse that talks about obeying God. Psalm 116 and verse 9 says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'll do exactly what He tells me to do. I will obey Him. I will walk before the Lord. I will do what He tells me to do. You know, a lot of people, as I think I mentioned this morning, they accuse this book of being complicated. They describe this book as too hard to understand. Let me tell you, if you take time, you can understand this book. And if you're truly born again with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can understand this book. Now, I'll agree there's certain concepts, certain things that we might have to think about a little bit. It may not soak in the first moment. But if you, through the Holy Spirit, say, God, give me wisdom on that. What exactly is that saying? This is not intended to be a difficult book, but it's intended to be a clear teaching of what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. And every page, as they say, in some way points to Jesus and Him coming to pay for our sins upon the cross. You see, there's Old Testament verses, but what about New Testament verses that talk about keeping the Word of God, keeping and knowing and doing what God wants us to do? First of all, 1 John 2 and verse 3. New Testament verses that talk about keeping or obeying the commands of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Notice what it says. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You know, I don't think this is speaking about a perfect keeping, but our life should be characterized by the general practice of keeping and obeying the commandments. You know, if our life is a train wreck, I mean all the time, and we're not keeping the commandments of God, maybe we need to reflect back and say, did I ever really trust Jesus as my Savior? Because it says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Again, keeping God's commandments is not necessarily a natural thing, but it's a supernatural thing that we can do based upon the Holy Spirit that lives within us and the God that we serve. Y'all agree with that? Another verse is Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. This is, again, the words of Jesus. We looked at a lot of those this morning, but the words in red in your Bible, Luke 11, 28. Notice what it says in Luke 11, 28. It says, but He said, that's Jesus, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and what? And keep it. You see, that's our responsibility. The word is settled. The word is finished. There's not going to be anything added to it. It's exactly what God wanted the word of God to be. Our responsibility is simply to keep it or obey it. John 14 and verse 15. This is also the words of Jesus. Now notice this. Notice what it says. It's not only a sign that we know Jesus when we, with God's help, keep His commandments. It's not only does the Bible say that we're blessed whenever we keep the Word of God. Keep it. Here it tells us, notice what it says. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. When we strive to keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father as a response to who He is and all that He's done for us, We show that we love Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, that's one prayer that I pray fairly often. Lord, help me to love you more and help me to love people more. But if we love the Lord, we'll keep his commandments. Maybe a lot of times the reason we don't keep his commandments is because we don't love the Lord the way we should. Our Heavenly Father, we looked at several qualities there. In control, present, great, high above man, just, equitable, righteous, a prayer, answer, a forgiver, and holy. And then we looked at our response to our Heavenly Father should be to fear him, to praise him, to exalt him, to worship him. Tonight, obey him. Obey him. Now, I know it's not like, well, that's the first time I've ever heard a sermon on obeying Jesus. You haven't been listening very close, because this is a very common theme. And the common theme, and the reason I believe that God has us bring it up quite often, is because we still struggle, every one of us, with obeying God. But we need to obey him. Remember our symbol for tonight? Yes, sir. I thought Larry was with me, but he was scratching his head. Pretty good time in there, Larry. Let's try that again. Yes, sir. That should be our response. Obey him. Now, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, God has a plan for our life. The rule book for the plan for all of our lives is found in the Word of God. And he uses this Word of God even to tell us specifically what we are supposed to do for him, right? But will we obey him? Now, sometimes this obedience is in little areas, and we've struggled with it for years. Maybe reading our Bible. You know, we should know by now, we should be reading our Bible daily. We should be spending time, quality time in the Word of God. We should all be praying before God. But do we pray the way we should? Are we obeying him in that area? We should be telling other people about Jesus, but are we obeying him and telling and opening our mouths? Yeah, it's tough sometimes. Are we giving of our resources to the local church? Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of month at the end of your check, but still, we're supposed to make sure that we're tithing to God, right? Starting at the tithe. I've said that for years. You know, what about reading the Bible, talking to people, praying, giving, and also coming to church, being faithful? Now, I know you're the Sunday night crowd, which is pretty much the Wednesday night crowd, and I think you get that part. But are we obeying him in our faithfulness to God, even coming and being faithful to church? Again, it's a decision. It's a decision. And I believe probably when I get it down pat and you get it down pat, sermons will quit coming about obeying him. But probably while we're in this world, we'll all still need to be reminded, don't you think? Simply obey our Heavenly Father. Simply obey our Heavenly Father. Are you obeying him the way you should? Are you obeying him the way you should? And normally, probably when I ask that question, if you're truly born again, that Holy Spirit started, you know, by the way, since he brought it up, the Holy Spirit maybe, and the Holy Spirit speaks in a soft, still, small voice with a southern West Virginia accent, I'm sure. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that. I'm kidding. But that still, small voice, probably when I said, are you obeying God in your life? I imagine if you know Jesus and the way the Holy Spirit works, it's kind of like, hey, and the Holy Spirit probably told you some area that you could do better at obeying our Heavenly Father. We're educated well above our obedience. If God is speaking to your heart about some area that you need to obey him or obey him more, why not do business with him tonight? Why not go to him again? And I know it's again because I've gone to God many times over certain areas like, Lord, here I am again. Forgive me for that. Lord, help me to obey you. Help me to do better. I need your power. I need your strength. And right now, I need your forgiveness. Just forgive me and help me to do better. So once again, would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? if God is speaking to you right now about some area where you could obey God better or more. Perhaps it would be doing certain things. Maybe it would be the principle of stopping something in your life. Stop doing something in your life. Would you take just a moment and say, God, help me to obey you in that area. Forgive me and help me to obey in that area. Would you do that? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Let me ask you if there's anyone here tonight who would have to freely admit that they really don't know for sure, 100%, that they're on their way to heaven. What a crucial thing that we should know. And I'd encourage you, if you're here tonight, say, you know what, preacher, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died. Because we have no promise of tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. We have no promise of tomorrow. I'd encourage you to make that decision. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, or you'd say, I know that I'm not saved, I'd encourage you to come up here, get my attention, and say, preacher, I want to be saved. You can leave here and say, you know what? I'm not in doubt anymore. There's no question mark in my brain. I trusted Jesus according to the Bible, put my faith and trust in Him, ask Him to forgive me of my sins. He's now my Savior. And I know that if something happens to me, I'm going to heaven. I'd encourage you to do that. And there could be some people listening in by live stream tonight. If you don't know you're saved, or you know that you're not saved, wherever you might be, it's not one of those things you have to do in church. You can do it wherever you are. If you mean it from your heart, you can call out to God in prayer and say, God, forgive me. I've done things against you. I've done lots of things. Forgive me. Wash the slate clean, you might say. And you from your heart can believe that Jesus really did, as God's Son, die upon the cross for you to pay your sin debt and resurrected back to life. And you can tell God that in prayer. I believe Jesus died for me to pay for my sins. I believe He resurrected back to life. And you could confess Jesus as your Savior. Jesus is my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. I'm going to commit my life to Him. You can say that to Him in prayer and mean it from your heart. That's what's crucial. And you can be saved wherever you are tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Psalm 99. Lord, I never thought when we started looking at this that we'd be 9 sermon series parts on this chapter. But Lord, what a rich chapter, Lord, in your Bible. Lord, it's all rich. It's all wonderful. And we thank You for Your Bible. Lord, help us, Lord, to obey You. I know it's easy to say, and I bet every Christian here would say, yeah, I want to obey You. But Lord, help us to make the decision with Your help to forsake these things that ought to be forsaken in our lives. And Lord, to add things to our life that we ought to add to our life, simply to obey You better, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name.